Why opening is far more important than closing. Opening is far more important than closing. Marcus Manilius, the first century AD philosopher, said, "The end depends upon the beginning." As a recruiting professional, how you open your sales interview is way more important than how you close it. A single perception that we call the primary perception is formed by the decision maker's approach and their reaction to the opening seconds of the sales interview. It dominates everything that happens thereafter. Many salespeople, including recruiters, believe everything in selling or recruiting is geared toward the close rather than the opening. In other words, the rest of the sales process is nothing but a prelude to the big close. According to them, even if you generate the worst primary perception, you can still pull out a victory right at the end. Sales mythology has been built into and around the close. A tremendous amount of time, energy, and money have gone into teaching and learning these closing techniques. Here are a few examples of different closing styles. The Ben Franklin close, creating a balance sheet of pros and cons. The now or never close, making a short-term offer that won't be available tomorrow. The alternative close, offering a limited set of choices. The assumptive close, acting as if the person is ready to buy, and the only close we teach as part of the impact selling system. The compliment close, telling the other person how smart they are or how much their friends and family will be impressed by their decision to buy a particular product or opportunity. Believe it or not, there's even the select deafness close, where you ignore everything the other person says that you don't want to hear. For example, if they say the 6-year commitment is too long, you say something like, "You'll make a lot of new friends on the drill weekends." Another unique close is the momentum close. That's where you build momentum by asking the decision maker a series of questions at strategic points in the sales interview. In fact, the momentum close was at the heart of the old ADA. Attention, interest, desire, and action, sales formula, formerly used by the Air Force Reserve recruiters for many years. At the Air Force Recruiter School, they used to call it continuous agreement. The decision maker, or in your case, the applicant, can only say yes because the answers to sharp angle questions used during the interview are almost always self-evident. You would like to have someone else pay your college tuition, wouldn't you? Or, if I could show you how to get paid while you get free technical training, you'd be interested, wouldn't you? And another favorite, you can afford free, can't you? The theory is that the decision maker or applicant gets in the momentum of saying yes, so when you get to the close, he or she falls helplessly under your control and can only answer affirmatively. It's because some sort of ingrained habit has been put into their mindset. Now that's silliness. It's also fantasy. So what's the reality? Ask yourself these two questions. When I have to push my applicants at the end of the sales process, when I have to turn up the pressure and go for a hard close, what percentage of them really end up committing? And, of the ones who do say yes initially, what percentage of those develop some sort of buyer's remorse and end up backing out of their commitment? The answers will most likely be none, followed by a lot. Several years ago, we did some research on this topic in the private sector. Of the decision makers we observed being subjected to what we call a hard close, only between 2% and 4% made a purchase. The range of 2 to 4% accounts for any subjective judgments we made about what constitutes a hard close. Of those decision makers who made a purchase after being subjected to what we call a hard close, 70% developed buyer's remorse to such a degree that the sale was canceled. Let's be honest. As you sat across from one of your applicants, did you ever feel a knot start to build in the pit of your stomach? One that grew bigger and bigger as the sales process approached the end of the transaction? You knew what was coming, and so did the applicant. It was so subtle that you don't notice it at first. But you were both distracted by the cloud hanging over the interaction. Because a part of your mind was preoccupied with the anticipation of a battle after you spring the commitment on them, knowing you let critical and crucial things slip past you. According to some sales theorists and sales trainers, who believe it's all about how you close, it's okay to start off where you want. Pick your favorite from the standard list of opening techniques that we've seen. let's take a look at the 7 biggest mistakes that salespeople make when opening the sales interview. 1. Small talk. 2. Opportunity, product, or service reference. 3. A benefit claim. 4. A provocative question. 5. Domination. 6. Company or branch of service reference. 7. Quality claim. Most decision makers or applicants aren't crazy about any of them. Research has demonstrated overwhelmingly that some of these techniques will make them hostile. Let's take a look at each of these openings and review how they're incorrect and flawed. Then we will review the right thing to say. Small talk. It's really of no value and can be awkward. Unfortunately, it's still being taught in some training programs. Here are a few examples. Oh, the applicant just came from a golf course. Let's begin talking about Tiger Woods. Hey, the applicant is wearing a NASCAR hat. Let's talk about the Daytona 500. If you think small talk is okay, consider this. In our research, of all the people who were subjected to small talk in a sales interview, 3 out of 4 didn't like it. They had perceptions that the small talk was a waste of time, manipulative, insincere, not appropriate to the situation, transparent. Another 21% wonder why the salesperson or recruiter even bothered with it at all. Their reaction, which we label neutral, can be summarized by what a human resources director said. I don't object to it, but it doesn't work, so why do they bother? Many recruiters have told us they never get anywhere with unsolicited small talk. If the applicant starts the interaction with small talk by asking a question, for example, what did you do in the Air Force Reserve before you became a recruiter? That's solicited. Answer honestly and briefly, but don't consider the question an invitation for small talk. Many times applicants ask a question like that because they feel awkward or nervous. If they engage in the small talk, maintain eye contact. You should transition smoothly into your sales interview. Don't let yourself get sucked into the small talk unless the applicant specifically solicits a response with a question. Second mistake: opportunity, product, or service reference. You can start the interaction with a reference to one of the many opportunities offered by the Air Force Reserve. It might be a simple description. In the Air Force Reserve, we can help you get the experience you need to advance your career. But this may not be what the applicants want to hear about up front. Every branch of service generally has an opportunity reference that's popular amongst its recruiters. The statements have become part of the landscape, and positive statements about the Air Force Reserve are acceptable somewhere at the beginning of the interaction, but not as your opening words. Here's what the decision makers in different industries think of those kinds of opening statements. Slightly less than half of the decision makers don't want to hear it. More than one-third have the "why do they bother?" attitude. Industry accepted or not, it just doesn't work. The third mistake, a benefit claim. You will rarely find a business manager who hasn't heard the promise to increase your profits. And there's hardly an applicant for any branch of the military that hasn't heard something like, you'll be able to complete your degree without owing any money in college loans. A benefit claim isn't what most of your applicants want to hear at first. Across the selling spectrum, more than 6 out of 10 decision makers are turned off by these statements at the beginning of the sales interview. Only 1 in 4 has a neutral reaction to it. Credibility was a big issue. Not believable, a sales pitch, self-serving. The fourth mistake, a provocative question. Applicants don't respond well to this type of opening question. In fact, opening with a provocative question often meets with disapproval and gets a more negative reaction than a benefit claim. The common perceptions are that it's rude, intrusive, nervy, or presumptuous. Fifth, is what we call domination. Domination happens when the recruiter is afraid of silence, so they end up dominating the conversation. The sixth common error is what we call a company or branch of service reference. Starting with a reference to the Air Force Reserve is not going to add a lot of value to improving your opening. For example, saying something like, "The Air Force Reserve is part of the United States Air Force. We're the most advanced branch of service, and we have the highest enlistment standards in the Department of Defense." Across all industries, greater than 4 out of 10 responses by decision makers to company references were neutral, and more than 3 out of 10 disapprove. Referencing the Air Force Reserve is not going to help you build rapport. And seventh is the quality claim. We hear more and more sales processes start with claims such as, "We're committed to quality," or "We treat our people better than any other branch of service." Just over half of the decision makers who hear a quality claim at the beginning of the sales process strongly disapprove of it. Those who have a neutral reaction are only 2 out of 10. The only category among opening techniques where neutral, "Why do you bother?" is the lowest of the three is this one. It's quite clear that decision makers either hate it or love it, which doesn't make it any better than the other techniques. None of these techniques for opening the sales process make decision makers or your applicants stand up and salute. They've been so overused that decision makers are well aware of all of them. As the chief executive officer of an advertising agency told us, "Sometimes I think there's one training program that every salesperson goes through, because they all sound alike." Well, she's wrong about the training, but right about the results. There's no difference between any of them. Except for fewer than 3% of the salespeople that we have studied, all says and does the same thing. If you run up against a competitor, another recruiter who learns how to address what we call the applicant's wants, you're going to be in over your head unless you know exactly how to handle it. If we combine the negatives, the people who disapprove, and the neutrals, we would wonder, why did they bother? Here's what the data would look like in descending order. Small talk, 95% negative or neutral. Opportunity claim, 89% negative or neutral. Benefit reference, 85% negative or neutral. A provocative question, 84% negative or neutral. Domination, 78% negative or neutral. Company reference, 74% negative or neutral. Quality claim, 71% negative or neutral. So you ask, what should you say? The best thing you can do is issue what we call a primary bonding statement. The safest thing you can say to your applicants is something like this: "We've discovered that if we can help our applicants get exactly what it is they want, things work out best for everyone. That's the way we'd like to work with you." The important word is want. Another example: "We've discovered that if we can help our applicants get exactly what it is they want, things work out best for everyone." Knowing that, "That's the way we'd like to work with you. Would you mind if I asked you a few questions?" Don't become a stereotype. Be your own person. Issue a primary bonding statement, and you'll be a real recruiting champion.